Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, November 10th, 2022. And we are reading from the Big Book, Chapter More About Alcoholism. We're on page 41, and we're going to study paragraph 1. And it begins with, I went to my hotel and leisurely dressed for dinner, and ends with, unbearable mental and physical suffering. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Deb E., the 12 traditions, Mary P., and reading the text today and support would be Becca R., Sherry Z., Penny LC. New client, the announcements today is Leslie W. The reference numbers, the share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, which would be Wednesday, the 9th of November, 19619, 19,619. And then this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting on Thursday, the 10th of November, is 19626, 19,626. OA Preamps is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. Our OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence, steps, and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Deb E. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Debbie in Montana, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Debbie from Montana. I will now ask Mary P. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group, ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication. 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. from Texas. That's Mary P. as in Paul. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Thanks to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In our quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted, and as we indicate, that would be the star 1 key function only for muting. Thank you so much for that consideration. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 41, and we are going to be studying and taking apart paragraph 1 today. It's a very important piece of information regarding twisted thinking. It begins with, I went to my hotel and leisurely dressed, and then concludes with unbearable mental suffering. I would like to open up the meeting this morning by having Becca R. please read that paragraph and unpack it for us by telling us how she applies that to her particular life. And then we'll open it up to the remainder of the fellowship here to share on that paragraph. Good morning, Becca.
Good morning, Melanie. Thanks for your service. Hi, everybody. Becca R., compulsive overeater, recovered in Kentucky. I went to my hotel room and leisurely dressed for dinner. As I crossed the threshold of the dining room, the thought came to mind that it would be nice to have a couple of cocktails with dinner. That was all, nothing more. I ordered a cocktail and my meal. Then I ordered another cocktail. After dinner, I decided to take a walk. When I returned to the hotel, it struck me a highball would be fine before going to bed. So I stepped into the bar and had one. I remember having several more that night and plenty the next morning. I have a shadowy recollection of being in an airplane bound for New York and of finding a friendly taxi cab driver at the landing field instead of my wife. The driver escorted me about for several days. I know little of where I went or what I said and did. Then came the hospital with unbearable mental and physical suffering. Yeah, so this is a great paragraph. I was really excited to be able to read it this morning. My experience is my most recent reworking of the steps started in April of this year, and the cunning, baffling, powerful nature of my disease presented very similar to Fred's. I had every intention. I was abstinent. I was working with a sponsor, and my husband and I became pregnant, and I had every intention of having this abstinent pregnancy. And I can see now, looking back, the ego was already setting in. But the cunning and baffling part was just how sneaky it was. For me, it wasn't my red light foods. It was more of my yellow light behaviors. I have a friend who says her disease talks to her in apples and cucumbers. That's how sneaky it is. And I can so relate to that, because what became kind of waffling on being strict with my weighing and measuring a little bit more, it was so much in the behaviors of, you know, bites of this or taste of that, or I'll have this instead of that, or I'll trade this for that. And kind of in the back of my mind, my disease was saying, you're going to gain weight anyway. You're pregnant. Like, you have no data to base this on. And off to the races I was, and I didn't even know it. And towards the end of my last debauch, my baby was nearly a year old. I was going to bed with a corn tortilla in my mouth, thinking, how is this any different than what I did with the red light foods? I was in the dark next to my sleeping husband, chewing and swallowing, full of guilt and shame. And that's when I realized that I couldn't BS myself anymore. I came back to program. Actually, I'd never left. Came back to the steps, worked them swiftly, and I'm grateful to say I found neutrality with food, but more importantly, I've found recovery, which has put my hand in the hand of God's. And I'm so excited to see what everybody else has to share. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Becca, for getting us started today with that opening. Appreciate that. Going to open up the lines now for additional comments on that particular paragraph. Paragraph 1, page 41 in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, more about alcoholism, is a chapter that you'll find us in. Bruce, over your last name and perhaps your state, we can hang on just 1 second, Bruce. We can then get you going and reading, but I wanted to mention this, Bruce, first. That was really important. We do value everyone's experience, but we do ask that you limit your share to everyone every third day in order that others might be able to share as well. And you know what? You could also consider going fewer than that. I mean, you can go 5 or 6 days without sharing. That would be just fine. And I did hear Bruce E.
Noelle E.
Noelle E.
Wendy O.
Rod
B.
Somebody else.
Sherry Z.
Did I hear somebody?
Wendy B.
I heard Robin, and I got Wendy. Yep. And I got
Sherry
B. Kathy D. Deb E.
Sherry Z.
Sherry Z. Is that true? Deb E. and Sherry Z?
Yep.
Okay. Sherry Z. Okay. Gotcha. So we got 6 and 7 Holly on the line up here today. Good. Hey, Holly, I'm going to wait just a minute, please. I'm going to see if I can't get these 6 or 7
Sounds
in
good.
Except after these have gone. So you hang tight. Don't go anywhere and be on the ready. So what I have this morning, Bruce E., Noelle E., Wendy B., Robin P., I have Kathy B., and then I have Deb E. and Sherry Z., if that's correct. Let's go with that. Hey, Bruce, you got 3.
Yeah, Bruce E. in, I'm in Lehigh Acres, Florida now, displaced from my home, so I'm kind of a traveling man. And I'll go wherever somebody will let me park their car. This is Bruce E. I'm recovered in Florida, and apologize for jumping the gun there. I was a little over exuberant there on wanting to share. Glad to get to share, though, especially on this paragraph. It starts out, the guy is doing tremendous. You know, I mean, he is just, everything's going well for him. Leisurely dressed for dinner, you know, across the threshold of the dining room. And at the end of the paragraph, of course, it takes place over a couple of days. At the end of the paragraph, the guy's now He's in the hospital with this unbearable mental and physical suffering. You know, just in that one paragraph, that quick. So this is it for me, too. And this disease is cunning and baffling. It starts out, I'm doing great. You know, I'm leisurely dressed for dinner. You know, I go out, you know, and have a nice dinner. Well, I can handle a dessert after dinner, or, you know, whatever. I can have two dinners or what, you know. Or at the office, you know, there's a box of donuts there. I can have one. And then I'm back. Well, that worked okay. I can go back. I can have one more. I handle that one well. I can have another one. Just like this guy, he ordered another cocktail, another one. And, you know, and then he decided to go for a walk, came back, had more. And the next thing he ends up, this guy's in New York. He finds a friendly cab driver, probably another alcoholic. I guess he was friendly. He's a fellow alcoholic. He catches this guy, and for a couple of days they travel around together drinking and having a great time. And this taxi driver doesn't have to spend any money, and he's making money, and he's getting drunk too. So anyway, yeah, it's easy to find friends too. You know, we might isolate ourselves and not want to find friends, but it's easy to find binging buddies. And then came the hospital and the unbearable mental and physical suffering. And that's it for me. You know, this donut, that donut, on and on. And next thing, man, the guilt comes in. And now it's gotten shorter and shorter and shorter for me. You know, it can come in a half hour, you know, take the wrong thing. Oh, I think for myself, that's okay. You know, it was only one or whatever. It wasn't that bad. And then within that half hour, it starts, I get into this unbearable mental and physical suffering. You know, the guilt, the shame. What did I do? Why did I do it? Now I got to start all over again. Now what's everybody going to think? You know, what do I tell my sponsor? What do I say about this
That's
or that?
Time.
So, well, thank you very much, Melanie, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Brucie. From Florida. Next up is Noelle E., followed by Wendy B. Good morning, Noelle.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you for your service. Hi, everybody. This is Noelle E., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Louisiana. Thank you to the lead share. What beautiful service. I'm grateful, my friend. And this paragraph is so, I mean, this book, it's such beautiful writing. That is what is coming to me as I'm reading it. And it is amazing how sinister this disease is and how just the description right there in, you know, in the italicized portion is so terrifying, you know, like it just brings me back to knowing that I am powerless and that, you know, every day recovered is yet a reprieve. Is a daily reprieve because I still have an eating disorder. That is what God is showing me each day that I am recovered, is I'm recovered, but I'm not cured. And, you know, I hear so often on the line, you know, for the first, you know, first 10 years of my abstinence, it was like this, or it was whatever. I appreciate everybody who shares that way because I am, you know, in my infancy here I don't even know how long I've been absent. Maybe it's, who knows? It's under 2 years. I worship God. I don't worship my abstinence. But it is, it's just so important to hear that, you know, this thing's never going to go away. And it is just as loud when the times are good as when the times are hard. And the times are very good right now for my family. God's blessings are raining down on us. And I know that just means my higher power's arms are open wide saying, run to me, run to me, run to me. You know, and that's what I get to do. I get to be here. I get to give my life to God, and what a miraculous way to live. So I love everyone today. and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Noelle. Noelle E. from Louisiana. Next up, Wendy B., then Robin P. Hey, Wendy, good morning.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And where it says, you know, the thought came to mind and it struck me as a good idea. And, you know, I'm defenseless against those thoughts, you know, against my disease. It says, you know, and there is a solution that we're without defense against the first drink, you know, and in more about alcoholism, it says his defense must come from a higher power. And, you know, because left on our own, you know, left on our own devices, we're powerless to resist the call of our substance. And, you know, and that's what God gives us, you know, the sanity to see the temptation, you know, the discernment to see it as an enemy, you know, and the ability to be on the alert, you know, aware of the danger. And he gives us the power to flee, you know, as if from a hot flame. And he gives us the ability to change our focus, you know, to turn our attention to something else. And, you know, he helps us to look at, you know, where we're weak, you know, if we're too lonely or angry or tired, you know, to deal with the underlying problems, you know. And a lot of times for me, you know, I'm tempted to think I'm hungry when I'm really thirsty, you know, and I just need to drink some water. And, you know, or I need to do a 10th step on some feeling that's surfacing that I want to bury with food. Or I'm tired and I need to take a nap. You know, or I need to call someone to get support. And, you know, I have to take care of myself, you know, and make sure my needs are met so I'm not vulnerable to temptation. And, you know, I have to make sure I'm in fit spiritual condition and have a connection with God so I can be sensitive to his nudges and his warnings. And, you know, if I'm not in fit spiritual condition, I need to stay away from tempting situations, you know, to protect myself. I really like the concept of having a hospitalization period when you first get abstinent, so you're protected, you know, and there's, you know, more outside structure, you know, until you can develop, you know, your internal structure. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much. Wendy B. from Arizona. Robin P., tell us where you are.
Thank you. Thank you, Melanie. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Amalfi, Italy, currently on the Amalfi coast. And I'm so grateful for my abstinence and recovery today. And I totally relate to this paragraph. You know, it was always such a shock. Oh, this is a good idea. And I had no defense against these, quote, good ideas. I had an idea. I decided to. A thought came to mind, you know, all of those. And it was just like, take me to your leader. If I heard that voice, I had no defense. And today, thank God, I'm neutral with the food. And thank God today, I know what to do. You know, if I get a craving or something, I know to pick up the phone. And I know, you know, to use my program and my God squad and God. And I'm so grateful because I literally thought before a program that I had no choice. And today I know that I have solutions. And I'm really grateful. We're traveling through 22 cities or towns in 3 months throughout Europe. And we're seeing if we want to live here for part of the year. And, you know, every time we get to, I'm a gluten-free vegan and I eat organically. And so, you know, but God keeps taking care of us. Every time we get to a town, every 3 days or 4 days, we go right to a store and get, and God always provides for me, even in Italy. And, you know, I'm just so grateful. And I'm also very grateful for my willingness and for working the steps and having all my fellows. It takes a village. And I'm so grateful for all of you and hearing all of your voices. And, you know, there are all these miracles and relationships that pop up and all of these miraculous things that happen that I would never be open to if I was in the disease. I would be hiding. I would be sullen. I would be isolated. I would be in hell. I would be trying to recover from that horrible hangover from the food. And today I just get to show up and, you know, pray and turn my will and my life over to the care of God and pray only for knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out and be of service. And God uses me. And God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinence day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Robin P. Blessings to you. I want to let folks know that we are where we're at, so you can take a peek and get ready to share if you'd like to. Take a look in your big book. We're in the chapter more about alcoholism, pardon me, on page 41, and we're unpacking paragraph 1 today. And it begins with, I went to my hotel and leisurely dressed for dinner, and ends with unbearable mental. I'd like to call up now for a three-minute share, Kathy B. from Oklahoma, and then that will be followed by Deb E. Hi, Kathy.
All right. Good morning. This is Kathy B. from Oklahoma, and I am a compulsive overeater. And thank you very much for allowing me to share. I am driving. I did pull over, but I have to share. And I'm nervous about it. But anyway, this paragraph is awesome. And thank you for all the great shares, you know, in all the meetings this morning. And I just want to say the shares and the reading helped me to identify and see the truth about my disease and about myself. And I am very grateful for that. And when I read this paragraph this morning, it reminded me of where I was about 2 weeks ago and kind of where I am right now a little bit. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, what happened. And these paragraphs and the shares are really helping me with that. What happened was I was at work. You know, I felt I was in a safe place. I'm talking about, you know, with my food. And I was invited to go into this really nice luncheon at the spur of the moment. And, you know, I just don't know what happened. I had a thought, like Fred, wouldn't it be nice? And wouldn't it be nice? And I did. I walked through that threshold. But the thing is, I didn't pick up my binge foods, but it was my behavior. I felt that something was wrong. I felt like I was being dishonest. I didn't even think about calling my sponsor or just texting her. I didn't think about, you know, making an outreach call. And they talked about the pause this morning. I didn't even think about pausing and praying and asking God to go with me, you know, through that threshold and sit at that table with all the beautiful food. And I took my will back and I thought I could handle it. And eventually, you know, a couple of days later, I did tell my sponsor because the guilt was, you know, the guilt. I had to tell her. I knew that I had to tell her. And she's very smart, very wise sponsor, and I'm very grateful that today I am working through the steps again because I need to enlarge my spiritual condition. And, you know, she's pushing me a little harder, that she's pushing me to speak in the meetings, and here I am. So I'm just grateful, looking forward to the future, and thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you very much, Kathy B. from Oklahoma. Next up is Deb E., followed by Sherry Z., and then we're going to open up the lines for additional comments on paragraph 1, page 41 of your big book, so you want to get ready. 6 minutes. Hi, Deb.
Hi. Thanks, Melanie. Hi, it's Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And it's so great to be on the meeting and getting to share. It's been a couple of weeks, and it feels like a really long time. So the word that popped out to me today is leisurely. And I looked it up, and it says unhurried or relaxed. And it was just making me think about how I can't let up and relax about any part of my program anytime. I have to, it might sound a little extreme, but I have to be so black and white about my program and my connection to my higher power. It had like there's no like, oh, today it'll work, tomorrow it won't work, or, you know, maybe I'll cut this off this week and do more next week. It has to be, the only changes I can make that I've seen for myself are to keep adding things. Like I can never subtract. And in the last couple of weeks between like time zone, you know, clocks changing not at the same time as North America and stuff like that. It's just, it was really challenging to get on some meetings. And anyways, the fact is I didn't attend as many meetings and I didn't share as much as I usually do. And I feel it, like it comes so quickly. I don't need to wait till like a food thought comes into my mind. I notice when, as soon as my spiritual condition is not in exactly the same spot as it was, and it never feels good. And it's just good to have this reminder to, like, I can't be leisurely about my program. And I feel like this first sentence, you know, I went to my hotel room and leisurely dressed for dinner. Like, he was just too relaxed. He wasn't thinking, you know, he was like, oh, I don't have to be on guard. And then all of a sudden, like, how did I get here again kind of thinking. So, yeah, I was just thinking about, like, all the non-negotiables. This week I also had to, like, be really tight with my time in the morning with my 11-step routine and my exercise routine. And this morning I was like, oh, it'll probably make more sense to do my exercise routine before my 11-step. And I was like, no, I can't do that. It has to be the first thing I do every morning. And I'm glad I did. So happy to be here. Thanks so much for all the great shares and my pass.
Thank you very much, Deb E. from Israel. Next up, before we open up the lines again, will be Sherry Z. for 3 minutes. Good morning.
Good morning, visionaries. Can I be heard?
You bet. You're loud and clear, but I'll let you know. You just jump right in.
Okay, perfect. I'm Sherry Z., recovered in California, and so grateful for all the shares and for everyone's service this morning. So we're in the fourth story. There's the man of 30, the story of Jim, the jaywalker, and Fred. And I find it always curious that Fred is the person that was like, I'm not like you, I'll conquer this. And unlike the other guys, he's not as celebrated as Bill, Bob, Evie, or Marty, but he was, as we've heard, a partner at a well-known accounting firm. He never got arrested. He met his obligations. He was super well-liked. And as this is the story that most people don't connect with because it doesn't have the same drama, it's the story that really I connect with, because for 30 plus years, I just thought I have so much and I haven't been arrested. There was always a relative option. You know, I haven't been arrested. I haven't like lost my family. I haven't. Therefore, what my mind told me was, therefore, you're not like everybody else. Therefore, you can figure this out. It's just a matter of time, Sherry. And except the minute I had no effective mental defense against that first bite, none. And I had a shadowy recollection of what happened before. Like, it would take me to the depths of misery. And I would be like, what? I don't remember that. It was like I had a complete forgetter. And so so many people say I don't connect with Fred, and I so do connect with Fred, because it was like, I don't remember that I was so miserable, because I look around me and my life is pretty good. And I have to share that coming into this program has been the hardest and greatest of my life, because it allowed me to turn truly to God and not to some fix-it plan or abstinence plan or something. It allowed me to say, God, I can't, you can. And what's been hard is that I always had that buildup of emotion and I would go to the food. No matter what, even if it was abstinent food, I would go to the food. And this week, I've had a buildup of emotion, and it's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good. I feel vulnerable and scared. And it's still better than my life with the food. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sherry Z. from California. The lines are not open for additional comments. If you'd like to share, please give me your name, first letter of your last name, and perhaps your state, and I can take a line of about four people.
Now, are you?
Stephen G.
April
Penny LC.
Lucy or something like that. Oh, maybe it was Lisa M. I'm Nina behind you all this morning. I'm so sorry. Christy M.
Leslie W.
Leslie W. Nina. Okay, that looks like, let's go with that particular, I heard Nina, just in case, okay, Penelope. I don't think we're going to get to all of you enthusiastic, eager people. I'm so sorry about that this morning. Did I hear Holly?
Yes.
Did I?
Yes,
you did. Okay,
Holly.
We're going to start with Holly this morning.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Holly L. Okay, great. Holly L or Holly M?
L.
L. Got it. Thank you so much. And then I believe I heard Lisa N, and then Christy M, Leslie W, and then I think it was Nina and Penny LC. May not get to you too, but we'll see what happens. And my apologies for kind of getting twisted up there. So we're going to go with Holly for three, and then Lisa.
Thank you so much. I'm Holly L in Maryland, compulsive overeater, binger, sugar addict, and when I first read this paragraph, I thought to myself, well, how am I going to relate this to food? Because I've never been in a blackout from food. I have been in a blackout from something else. But then I heard the shares, and I realized that I have a disease of the spirit and of the mind. And I have to have my higher power at the forefront in everything I do at all times. And it was hard this morning. I was doing my quiet time and I didn't feel that connection, but I have to do it anyway and act as if. And the first person that shared really piqued my interest because I'm starting to get a little sloppy with my food plan, and she reminded me of that because I had a tendency to eat in bed and all the time and take food to bed. And last night I took my snack to bed, and I don't think I should be doing that. So I'm grateful that I heard that share, and I'm grateful for all of you. I think that this is my this is the way I'm gonna hopefully be able to clear away all this wreckage of the past and have some peace of mind and some serenity and some joy in my life. It's been waning, waxing and waning. I'm 67 years old, and I feel like an infant in my emotions. So I'm working through the steps, and I will keep at it, and I'm grateful to be able to share my my feelings. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you very much, Holly. Holly L. from Maryland. Lisa N., you're up next for 3 minutes, followed by Christy M. Lisa, star one. Well, in the interest of human error, let's move on to Christy M., please.
Good morning. This is Christy M., grateful, recovering, bulimic, anorexic, and overeater from Oregon. And I really appreciate this passage. I am 2 years this past summer abstinent from bulimia, and it was quite a battle to get there of a few years of coming to OA and just repeated relapse. And, you know, this is a reminder to me, and this still happens. It's like, no matter how far I get into recovery, you know, if I'm having a stressful day or going through a difficult season, my brain can start, you know, justifying and creating this story about how I might, oh, it's okay for me to drive and go to this place and get this dessert, or, you know, it's okay for me to eat this thing at this party because, you know, I've been so good and, you know, I've been maintaining a certain weight. And like that disease part of my brain can really pop up anytime, anywhere, and it still does. And like, I now learn to recognize, like, oh yeah, like I know what that voice is and I really shouldn't listen to that. But more importantly, when I start having those thoughts, when I start, you know, fantasizing or thinking or justifying about something I'm going to do to go get food. And so for this person, it was like in a cab thinking, oh, well, it'd be good, nice to have a cocktail right now. And, you know, like this morning, I thought, oh, it'd be nice to go have this breakfast or this drink this morning. Even though like I'd already had a food plan and planned out an abstinent breakfast of what I was going to eat. And then you start to justify why you can do that. And it's so insidious, and it seems so logical at the time. And for me now, I recognize that as a sign of like, oh, if I'm having that thought, that means like something's really going on with me emotionally. Like what is bothering me? Where am I afraid? Where am I resentful? Because those thoughts usually mean I'm uncomfortable with an emotion. And like that is my automatic default, is to go to food. And while, you know, I might not be on a bender with alcohol and blackout, when I am in the food, I am out of my like wise mind. I am out of my rational, logical self. And I'm no longer, you know, thinking in a clear and way. And my higher power is no longer at the wheel when I'm doing that. And when my higher power is not at the wheel, you know, I can't really trust my decision making. So while I'm not blacked out, I definitely am not thinking clearly if I'm thinking in the food and I'm having thoughts like that. So that's now fun. I'm recognizing that. Thank you. I'll wrap up. Now I'm recognizing that as a cue to work my program and do some outreach and go to a meeting. So thank you. And with that, I'll share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Christy M. from Oregon. Next up is Leslie W. from Tennessee. 3 minutes for you, madam.
Hey, Melanie. Good morning. This is Leslie W. Thank you for your service. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee, and I really identify with Fred because I did have a lot going for me, or so I felt, and I had a husband that I love, and I had a husband, I had a brand new house, I had a baby, I had a thriving business, I, you know, participated in church, I was involved in activities there, and had friends, and I had a full life. And then, all of a sudden, when I had that baby, a few months after, the disease reared its ugly head and kind of blindsided me, and I didn't understand what was happening. I didn't understand what was happening to me, and I really thought that, okay, I can lick this, you know, I can get this, you know, I can figure this out. And there was a lot of ego involved, but there was also a lot of misunderstanding and false assumptions about this disease that had to be rectified. I truly did not believe that this was a disease. And it took a long time for me to understand. It took coming into vision, what it took in 2016 and really 2015, 2016, and really hearing other recovered compulsive overeaters speak with clarity and definitively, you know, talk about the twofold nature of this disease. It is cunning and baffling. It is sneaky. It isn't so clear for us as it perhaps might be for an alcoholic in the beginning, because we're all different and we have different binge foods and different behaviors. So really the dishonesty, the level of dishonesty for me was so that it really took trying and failing over and over and over and over again before I could finally admit that, yes, I am a real compulsive overeater.
That's time.
Not because of what I, not thank you, not because of what I look like on the outside, but because of who I am on the inside. And with that, I pass. Thanks so much, Mel.
Thank you very much, Leslie.
Looks like we have about 3 minutes, and so I would like to offer a minute and a half to Nina and Penny LC, or however you'd like to divide that up. Nina, would you like to press star one and tell me how you'd like to do that?
Yes, that'd be great. Nina R. from New York.
You'll take 1.5? Okay, thank you for that consideration. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to share. Just referring to the passage, you know, I see Fred as I see myself. Just, you know, you just go into that. So I'm a recovering anorexic and bulimic, and you know, when I undereat, I get the high, and when I binge and purge, or when I take one bite, I just go into that place of. So I'm a recovering alcoholic as well. So I know that state of unconsciousness, and I love it. And there's no, it's not about the buildup of emotion. It's just about getting high. So I'm not shocked that Fred ended up in New York City. You know, you just go into this. It's like being on LSD. Like, food has that effect. And I remember when I first felt that high from food.
That
and I
would was on be time.
Thanks. And
you can wrap up, though.
Yeah, thanks. And it's frightening. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Nina R. from New York. Next up for about 9. I need to wrap up the share part of the program. Thanks.
Thanks for your Melanie. Thanks for your service. And this is Penny Elsie, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And when I read this paragraph, all of my truth comes out. How full of ego and pride I've been. How my self-knowledge and willpower was never enough. How insane my thinking was. How I've been in my life, in my recovery process, dry but not recovered. And this crossing the threshold to this dining room, and I realize I'm on the wrong paragraph. Okay. Anyway, oh, good grief, where did I go with that? No fight against that first drink. Yeah, well, vulnerability is there no matter what. And if I'm not spiritually fit, I can't think the food through. I can't be clear-headed, and that's where my spiritual fitness is so important, to keep that in mind because of my built-in forgetter. Thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny LC, both of you, for that consideration of sharing that time together this morning. And that wraps up the recorded portion of our meeting. We're going to close that particular piece out, but we're going to move on to the last 10 minutes of our meeting. So don't go anywhere. Sit tight. Sit tight, sit tight. So I'd like to thank everyone and for our service members here this morning. And we're going to close out with having Sherry Z. please read from page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we'll move over into saying the Serenity Prayer as we then continue our last 10 minutes of our meeting. Hey, Sherry, good morning.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Sherry Z. recovered in California. And this is, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask God in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to God and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.